Good morning. It's time for another conversation. This is High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, here on Talk 960. We're keeping it local with High Desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's start talking.
Good morning, Roxanne. How are you?
Good. Welcome back to our listeners. High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne.
I know.
Summer style.
I'm so excited. You know, this year we've kind of seen a trend that we've got these guests who have such a wealth of information. We're just inviting them back. Mm-hmm. And so this is kind of like part two.
Yes.
Of our conversation with Robert Lovingood, who I think most of our listeners will know as the community business leader that he is, small business owner, and then he served as our first district supervisor for the county of San Bernardino for 8 years. And so we're just excited to have Robert back. We're going to jump in because we want to pick up where we left off, Roxanne, right?
Yes, we do. Welcome back, Robert. Thank you for being here.
Oh, well, thank you, guys. I really enjoy the conversation, the opportunity. And I think it's a great program.
Yeah, and so like I said, this is actually kind of part two. We had a previous interview with you, Robert, that aired in April. And now we're going to continue to talk about kind of employment, education, and economic development, right? Because all of those things kind of work hand in hand. And so I want to start by asking you, what are some primary things regarding economic development that we want to be mindful of here in the high desert?
Well, yeah, I think there's a number of factors. One, but we're going to be continuing on our growth and our growth path. You know, the community is not going to slow down. Mm-hmm. And so there's a really good rule of thumb that it's a good time for existing businesses to focus on not only their existing customers, but how to grow more. And then at the same time, how to interact and retain the employees that you have, because we're going to have more and more competition. Our business, and when I say that, being a local company, you know, we entertained our competition, our national competitors. Mm-hmm. And I think our businesses in the high desert also have to be prepared for that. As the community grows, the bigger corporations, the bigger franchises move in. So depending on your industry, stay focused, watch for others to expand, and really work on retaining both your clients, but really your core team. It's a very important time that you really recognize the value of your employees.
You know what, and Robert, I couldn't agree more with you about that, and I'm glad that you kind of opened this conversation up with that, because I really want to ask a question. You know, we hear so much going on from the national scale of what's going on. But are small businesses still considered the backbone of America?
Oh, 100%, and they will. And we drive 80% of the growth, 80% of the employment. And if we ever really all came together, we would should rightfully have a much larger voice than we do. But, yes, it's when we look at competitiveness, mm-hmm. and I say that, it's still going to be driven by individual companies. Mm-hmm. And again, there's a lot of areas of growth. It's hard, I think, more in the retail section.
Okay.
Just because, again, if you're competing against Amazon, and maybe, you know, when I say that, or an international company in the delivery of retail items, that's going to be difficult. And you just have to strengthen those personal relationships and really always have a better delivery, uh-huh. if you can say, more attention to the client, more attention to your customer, and then basically outperform.
Yes, and I think, would you agree that people do business with people that they like and people that they trust, people that they know deliver on the promise, right? So that's still a standing, right?
Oh, 100%. You know, and that personal touch, especially in my mind as we move into AI, mm-hmm. it's still the person. And you really focus on the companies that are going to allow that communication. And I think that's where, again, small private business will always outperform. you can integrate, you can use the technology advantages, but at the end of the day, and I think all your listeners, I think one of the most frustrating things is to call about a service issue or something that you're trying to do and get a menu of 14 selections.
Yes.
And by the time you get to the 14th, you've forgotten the past 13, and you still just want to talk to a person.
Yeah,
I want to be able to reach out on the phone and say, Roxanne or Regina, I need help. Mm. Answer me this. I don't want to have to go through a three-minute window and then prompts through AI. And I mean, even though it can sound like a person, it's extremely frustrating. And I think those that pay attention to customer service will continue to win.
I couldn't agree more. Now I want to delve into this. Can you talk about maybe just one significant impact due to the tariffs that small businesses need to be aware of? What is that impact going to be, and how do they gird up, plan for that?
Well, I mean, one, it's actually a conversation in motion. And when I say that, even today, the president announced that EU tariffs are going to be delayed, and that's allowing really negotiations. So when we talk about an impact, when we're talking about, I'm going to say, lower cost items, mm-hmm. there's going to be an impact because most of those come really, I think 70-75% currently today come from China.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happened over the last couple months was basically a very large increase, and it's going to stop the flow of certain goods. And when I say that, but I think most of the folks, you know, I call it living by a checkbook. You know, you get a check. You have two income families. People have to balance their checkbooks and know what they can pay for. I think the threat of the fact of a child only getting $2 at Christmas versus 15, not really going to matter at the end of the day, most Americans. So what I'm saying is most of the products, and if we look at the, I'm going to say the discount dress store. So if we look at Ross, we look at, again, that 50 to 60% of their items come from China. So again, now, women may feel a little differently, and I say that because it seems that's where my wife shops a lot.
Hey, I love it. It's great.
Okay. All right. There you go. There's going to be less of a selection. Again, I don't think that's life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where the impacts, I think, the greatest threats are, and I don't see that yet occurring, would be if there was any threat actually within medicine supplies and other mm-hmm. key things.
Yeah.
I know from a top level, looking at big companies, a lot of their hard infrastructure cost or equipment comes from overseas. That's a big concern. But on the local, as going back to your question, I think the independent businesses, there's mm-hmm. going to be some, but I think we're going to survive them. I don't think it's going to be life-ending.
Okay. Okay. Well, good to know. Fingers crossed. And hope
you
are right on that call, right?
Yes.
So I want to talk a little bit about, Robert, education and employment, because
yes.
I know you've been waving the banner for especially our youth to take up a trade,
yes.
right?
Yes.
And I don't think that we can have too much of that conversation, and especially, you know, at this time where we've got students that have recently graduated high school, students that are trying to figure out, you know, career-wise, where they go. We've got, students that are juniors who will now be seniors in the upcoming year, and they're trying to kind of forge out, what does the future look like? Where are the jobs? How can I be best prepared? So
talk to me
about that, because it's about education leading to career, right?
100%. And I think, look, our junior college technical schools provide a great stepping stone. It doesn't mean that's where you go for the rest of your life, but it'll open doors.
Mm-hmm.
If we think about AI and we tie in technology, there's seven areas at this point for the next 30 years will not be automated. There may be parts that are automated. There may be troubleshooting diagnostics that are done through AI, but it's still going to take the individual. And the great thing is, you know, and I always go back, I can remember a constant theme in our home was, you know, if you're going to dig ditches somewhere in your 30s, your back's going to go out. And that's just talking about manual labor.
Right.
And then there's not a lot of hope for you. But if you have a trade, if you have a toolbox and you have a career, and you're always going to take care of a family. I think that's a big part of our conversation. I read over the weekend, 10 different college degrees that are failing to return on that investment.
Can you name some of them, Robert?
I was going to ask.
It was 100% general studies, anthropology, religion, general business, which just said a general business did not bring about that value. Mm. And the largest, now here's an interesting one, the largest unemployment sector of recent graduates happens to be in IT, computer science.
Wow.
They're over 6%. And here's the caveat of the impact of artificial intelligence. They're being replaced by programs that they write.
Wow.
30%. In fact, they had a profile of a gentleman who had 25 years at an international company as a programmer, basically wrote his own job, his own program, took his job. The program he developed actually took his place after 25 years. So on his 48th birthday, 25 years with the same international corporation, very well paid, he was laid off.
So he wrote himself out of job?
Correct.
Hmm. Wow.
And you're going to see that because, again, I'm a layman when it comes to AI.
Mm-hmm.
But what it's able to do and what it's forecasted to do, you know, if you look at chat, they're saying it's going to take over Google because you can ask the same, you can pose a question to Google and then pose the same question to chat,
mm-hmm.
and it gives you a much more detailed explanation of information.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very scary for some people.
But back to the original question, if we look at electricians, if we look at plumbers, if we look at master carpenters, framers, again, people with a skill, welding, electrical, and that can be household
mm-hmm.
or commercial electrical, each of those have pathways to $70,000-$80,000 a year jobs mm-hmm. with promotion opportunities that move people into six-figure income. And then if you continue that education, it becomes a much wider field. If you're an industrial electrician and you master that, if you go back to school and become an electrical engineer, well, you're going to double your income again.
Right. And that also leads to, at some point in time, becoming your own business, right?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly can.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Certainly can.
So, Robert, I want to thank you. I know we grabbed you at a time where, you know, you didn't have a whole lot of time, but I'm glad that you were able to talk to us about these things. But I'd love to have you join us again because I do want to probe a little bit more of that impact of AI because, you know, right now there's a lot of conversation around it, but I'm not so sure from a business perspective. And economic development, you know, that we really understand it, right?
Okay.
And so would you be willing to come back and have that conversation with us? What do you think, Roxanne?
I think it's great. This is something that people should be aware of, especially, like you mentioned, too, we just have a class of seniors graduating. Is AI maybe a career pathway that they want to learn more about? Is it profitable? Does it take long to learn that kind of stuff? So, yeah, I think that would be great, Robert, if you wouldn't mind.
Right. Oh, no, I'd love to. Hey, I want to go back to this real quick before I finish on the tariff part. Okay, so and something I learned a couple months ago, and I didn't realize, from 1870 to 1930, we had no income tax in the nation. Everything was funded in government through tariffs. So
do you think it would go back to that? I mean, it's a different time, obviously, but does that sound like something
Well, no, Roxanne, I think it becomes a balance. And so what I'm saying is I think it does create income if you want to sell to our market. And I think if you really look at the imbalance of what it has been over the last 50 years, there's some balancing that we get to, and that brings benefit in the form of lower costs. And eventually, I think if you have responsible people that are representing you, can lower the tax burden, both on the individuals that live here and work in the United States and also the companies that are here.
Mm-hmm.
And when you free that capital, people reinvest. If you free that capital, it's kind of like no tax on tips, no tax on overtime. In our industry, that's about like a 15% for those that work overtime. That's the equivalent of about a 15% pay increase.
Yeah.
So And so again, that goes back to the dinner table with the families and the people that work and work diligently. And at the end, that helps us. So there is some straightening that needs to be done. And I think long term, I've always been an advocate. If we run government like a business, the federal government's the biggest business in the world. You need to apply business practices, and everybody wins in the end.
And Robert, I really appreciate this conversation. And when we have you back, I'd love to do a little deeper dive into that, because I think we're all hearing, about tariffs and their sound bites, and to have some conversation that helps to give context and allows us to think through this a bit, because something you said about balance, you know what I'm saying? Mm. I think if we apply best practices and find where it balances, but right now what we're hearing can be scary be honest. And I don't think that necessarily we're being educated in a way that helps us to fully understand it, especially those of us who are small business owners or working with, smaller nonprofits or whatever the case may be, to where we're feeling like, oh my God, when is this impact going to happen, and not necessarily understanding. So I'm going to add that to your list of things we're going to talk about and take a deeper dive when we have you back.
One last thing I'm going to say. The eight years that you and I had the opportunity to work together, the same things we sought during that period.
Yes.
Measurables, accountability, how is the dollars being spent? I'm always open to that conversation, because it just comes back to families. We all have budgets. We all have income limits. And we have to work that way together collectively. There's a lot of open issues, but I'd really like to explore any part of all that we've discussed.
Well, definitely appreciate it. Appreciate you as my former boss. Uh-huh. I was going to get that in there.
That's questionable.
I was going to get that in there. But really want to thank you for sharing with us today. We'll look forward to having you back again to, like I said, do a deeper dive. We'll talk about AI. We'll also talk a little bit more
about the tariffs. Correct.
Yes. And I like what you said about accountability, right? Because we all have some accountability to making things better and making sure that we're doing what's best for the greater good. So thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll look forward to, what is it, Roxanne, part three?
Part four, part five. Yeah, we're going to do it.
All right.
Regina, Roxanne, thank you so much for your time. Look forward to running into you when I'm in town. As always, if you need anything, just call.
Okay. We will. Thank you,
Robert.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hope you're staying cool this weekend, and thanks again for listening to High Desert Dialogue, Conversations with Regina and Roxanne. Time to take a look at our community calendar. The Phelan Pinyon Hills CSD presents Kids Summer Fun. There's going to be kids painting classes with Shine Bright Paint. That's going on from ages 5 to 12 at 9 a.m., ages 13 and up at 11 a.m. on Thursdays. Coming up June 26th, July 3rd, 10th, 17th, 24th, and 31st. And kids archery classes are happening also with the Mojave Archers, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Thursdays as well, June 26th and July 3rd at 4093 Alvera Road in Phelan. You can find out more by going to pphcsd.org/events to RSVP. And going on Saturday, June 21st, Adelanto is having a community cleanup day at 12000 Stadium Way in Adelanto. Be sure to let us know of any events that are open to the public so that we can share it with you, our listeners. We'll talk to you next weekend. Hope you're staying cool this weekend, and thanks again for listening to High Desert Dialogue, Conversations with Regina and Roxanne. Time to take a look at our community calendar. The Phelan Pinyon Hills CSD presents Kids Summer Fun. There's going to be kids painting classes with Shine Bright Paint. That's going on from ages 5 to 12 at 9 a.m., ages 13 and up at 11 a.m. on Thursdays. Coming up June 26th, July 3rd, 10th, 17th, 24th, and 31st. And kids archery classes are happening also with the Mojave Archers, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Thursdays as well, June 26th and July 3rd at 4093 Alvera Road in Phelan. You can find out more by going to pphcsd.org csd.org/events to RSVP. And going on Saturday, June 21st, Adelanto is having a community cleanup day at 12000 Stadium Way in Adelanto. Be sure to let us know of any events that are open to the public so that we can share it with you, our listeners. We'll talk to you next weekend. Thanks again for being a part of the conversation. Reach out to us and let us know what you want to talk about. Send us an email at RoxanneScafidi@edbroadcasters.com. High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne. We'll talk to you next weekend.